You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
If you don't listen to the playbook, you deserve 20 fucking whacks.
So, you know,
I look forward to it. Looking for
it's just time, just, though, do you know what I mean? It's just hanging about.
Yeah.
That's how it is, isn't it?
But patience, my friend, patience.
How about you?
I've been all right, yeah. There's a lot in the works, but from music to radio shows, now we're doing
because
sport.
Now you do Mondays now on BFM, don't you?
Yes.
You swapped on Saturday. Was that inconvenient?
For the Powered Up Boys, it was. Yep. So I was just like, okay, I can do Mondays. So yes, to infinities on Mondays, but the playbook needs a bit of love, and so we're here to talk about sport. Rob, I'm so glad you joined me because
yes,
I feel like I've been trying to figure out how to get this show back on the road, and yeah, I'm excited. What's been going on?
Well, it's obviously football for me. Now, before the season started, I thought it was going to be mad, right? Because you've got so many games. There's more than one game a week coming up soon because of the World Cup, the break in the World Cup, and it ends in August. It's crazy. But we're three games in, and I don't know whether to call them surprises or shocks. There's so much been happening in the 3 weeks that we've been playing.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, Arsenal have won all three games. They're banging in goals left, right and centre. It's quite hard for me to say this. I'm interested to see what happens when they play a stronger team.
Yeah.
But saying that, there's no easy games in this league at the moment.
It's such an such an unpredictable start to the season.
Yeah, any team can beat anybody, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Man City came back from 3-1 behind against Newcastle to draw 3-0. I mean, what a game. What a game. It was incredible. But Newcastle are looking really good. You know, they got all that money. They haven't really gone mad spending it. I thought they'd be frying like dosh around all over the place, you know, come and get your money here. But they're doing really well.
Yeah.
And then this weekend, Leeds absolutely battered Chelsea 3-0.
Chelsea got red carded as well, though, right?
Chelsea player got red carded,
yeah.
They can't blame the ref for that. I mean, we drew 1-1 with them. Tottenham drew 1-1 with them. And I've got to tell you, we fucking hell, how we got a point out of that, I don't know. They should have beaten us 4-0. We were shit. And then there was a big bust up with Antonio Conte and Tuchel.
I wanted to get your take on that last week. Obviously, we couldn't record
pathetic,
last week.
Mate. But they was wind. Right. Okay, I'll explain this. There's no love lost between Chelsea and Tottenham.
Yeah.
Supporters, we don't like each other, you know. But what happened is Antonio Conte used to be the manager of Chelsea, right? And they sacked him, which was a stupid move.
Okay.
And they were just, the two managers were just winding each other up during the game. Chelsea scored and Tuchel run past fucking Conte, like giving it all out, giving it all large. So he was, don't fuck with Italians, mate. And then at the end of the game, they went to shake hands and Tuchel wouldn't let go of him. He just wouldn't let go of the handshake.
So do you think it was initiated by the Chelsea?
Of course it was. Of course it was. And I just love Antonio Conte because he's Italian. His English is probably better than mine. But he said, if I see agrovisity, I return with agrovisity. He's a made man. No, it was handbags at dawn, really. But that's done nothing to call our relationship between the two clubs. They just hate each other anymore now. But yeah, I mean, that was mental. I mean, then you look at Liverpool, right? They're really shaky. They've had two draws and they lost today, unbelievably, to Man United 2-1.
Now, before we came in here, I first saw you and I'm like, what do you think of Man United beating Liverpool?
Yeah.
And you said, wait till we get in here. So, thoughts?
Well, the thing is, now, if you're a Man United supporter, you won't give a fuck about what I'm going to say now, but Liverpool had 10 players. They couldn't pick them.
Yeah.
Then their top player, the new player that they bought, Nunes or Noodles, as I call him, he's been banned for 3 games because the week before he headbutted someone.
Okay.
So he's got a 3-week ban. And, you know, this is what's so strange about football. The week before, Man United lost 4-0 to Brentford, got absolutely battered by them. And the last two games they played Liverpool, Liverpool scored 9 goals against Man United. Listen, enjoy it while you can, but Man United are still in the mud. I mean, the Glazers who own them, there was big demonstrations about them today.
Yeah.
They want them out. this will give them a little bit of reprieve. They just spent 50, 60 million on some player, 30-year-old central defender. They're panic buying now because there's about a week to go in a transfer market window and then it's shut. Yeah. They haven't really bought anybody. Everybody, they're all jumping up and down about it. Time will tell, right? Time will tell. As I said, as for Tottenham, we've had two wins and a draw. And I'm happy with that, but I'm not happy with the way we're playing. We bought some really good players. Yeah. And we didn't buy them to fill in. We actually bought them. We bought them to go into the team as replacements, really. And they're still not playing properly. They're still not playing. They've still not got enough time. But saying that, in Antonio Conte, I trust him. He knows what he's doing more than I. But as I was saying, the games are going to come thick and fast now. I think next week, after this weekend, they're playing during the week and it's going to go mad. So, yeah, football's... I still stick with my my predictions. Mm. I still think it's going to be Man City, Liverpool, Tottenham, Arsenal in the top four. I think Chelsea are done. Well, I hope they're done.
Well, that's a more confident prediction than you'd had did last season. I remember last season.
Last season we were in the shit. I mean, we had a mug manager. We were just rubbish.
Yeah.
We were rubbish. And to be honest with you, right, these three games we played last season, we lost to all three of them. And we always lose at Chelsea. They batter us normally at Chelsea. We don't score any goals and we scored two, so I was happy with that. So, yeah. And very, very quickly, the PDC Darts is actually in Hamilton this weekend.
Oh, okay.
The juggernaut of professional darts is coming in. And I predict this now. Every time a New Zealander does well in the darts world, I always talk about it on Plato's Retreat, right? And there was a New Zealander, he went up against a world-class dart player and battered him, right? I can't remember his name. It's pretty bad of me. There wasn't anything in New Zealand media about it whatsoever. And I think that's disgusting. But guaranteed they'll be all over the darts, like they're always into it. And I hate them for it, you dicks. Wrong with you. Support your people overseas. It's all about rugby, for fuck's sake.
I mean, the sports headlines in this country may say otherwise. Rugby's got its own shit going on, you know. Real quick, I wanted to get your reaction. Harry Kane has beaten Sergio Aguero's PL record.
With a header.
Some will take.
Good header.
Plenty of
well.
Movement in there. On by Perisic. And Kane is there!
A brilliant goal. Brilliant little corner.
The breakthrough at last.
A little flick by Perisic. Yeah, I've seen that quite a few times, that goal. he will end up being the greatest. I don't know. I think... I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but a lot of the press don't like Tottenham. And we never... it's always the negative stuff, you know, when it comes to them. And I think he will... They don't... He is a great... I'm not saying he's the greatest all-time English player, but he's getting up there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he's one of our own, as we say.
You've got me invested in the Premier League season now, even though I never watched football.
It is, without doubt, the best football league in the world. There might be better teams in other countries, but they haven't got the depth. It goes to all 20 teams apart from West Ham. Sorry, Sam, but West Ham haven't won a game yet. They've played three, lost three. Not
doing
looking
relegation
good.
At the moment, eh? They're sitting at the bottom of the
table. They're bottom. But listen, it's three games in. This is, as someone says, this isn't a sprint. This is a marathon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Plus, with the World Cup as well, a lot of these players in the Premiership that play for other countries, they're playing their skins out because they want to be picked for the World Cup.
Yeah.
Plus, God knows what injuries you could have. This is my big fear, is that you could be doing really well. World Cup comes along, you get a couple of players injured, then you're bollocks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you've got to have depth in your squad. So, I'm happy with it at the moment. Tottenham, we just need to smarten up a little bit. Son's done nothing, but, you know, he will.
Three games in,
mate. It's nothing. Oh, I nearly swore then.
Well, we can swear on the podcast.
Nah, it's fuck okay.
Real quick, we had a Tottenham supporter fight over the weekend, Anthony Joshua, and I wanted to get your take on his speech, his post-fight speech. He was quite upset over his loss to Usyk. The fight was really close.
Yeah, no, it was a split decision, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a split decision.
Look, if you knew my story, you would understand the passion.
What? No, I've got headphones on, but I don't wear headphones. 5 years old. That was an elite prospect. Oh, I've heard his speech. It's a speech.
I'll just quickly get your brief reaction to it. Hold on.
Okay. Sorry, man. Look, if you knew my story, you would understand the passion. I ain't no amateur boxer from 5 years old. That was an elite prospect from my youth, bro. I was going to jail. I see some hype little youths in Reading jail. I got bail and I started training my ass off. Because if I got sentenced, I wanted to be able to fight. I bust my case. But cousin Benga, where's he at? G14, raise your hand. I'm still in this Usyk, sorry. But it's because the passion we put into this man. Guys, I'm telling you, this guy, to be me tonight, maybe I could have done better. But it shows the levels of hard work he must have put in. So please, give him a round of applause as our heavyweight champion of the world. Woo!
Okay, I think that was a brilliant speech. That was so much passion in it. And he gave him big ups, you know what I mean? He was speaking from the heart.
Yeah.
I don't do social media because I hate it. Sewage pipe of humanity that it is. And there's so many people caning him at the moment that know nothing about boxing or what he's had to do to get there. They disgust me. Fair play to him. He apologised the next day for it. The other geezer accepted it. That's it as far as I'm concerned. I've got a lot of respect for the bloke, AJ. I love him.
I think a lot of people were concerned that he was taking away from Usyk's moment.
Yeah, maybe, was, you know, maybe. And I think that's what he apologised for. But you could see there's so much passion there. He regrets it. If he could turn the clock back, he wouldn't do it. But he's done it and he apologised. Fuck, move on. Do you know what I mean? What do you think?
I think that... I can see how some people would say it's unprofessional, but I think in the heat of the moment,
he's
obviously has the weight to bear of heaps of armchair critics and people that don't know about boxing. We don't really even know as much about boxing, nowhere near they do.
Listen, you've started going on the radio waves now, and you know the little bit of abuse that we get sometimes. You imagine the pressure he's under from these people, these no-opers that know nothing, that just jump on the bandwagon and just have a pop at him. I'm not surprised he blew up.
Yeah.
It was probably a little bit over the top.
Hmm.
But I haven't lost any respect for him whatsoever.
There is more to that post-fight rant that he did where he went into Ukraine and he threw the belts out
and all that. That was out of order.
Threw the belts out. He exited the ring and came back. He was obviously quite frustrated from the loss. He mentioned how he's a much heavier fighter than the greats that he has been compared to from the past, such as Rocky Marciano and such. He mentions how they were much lighter heavyweights. While that's all true, again, like, it just shows that he's under immense amount of pressure from media,
from
social media, from critics. I want to say armchair critics, because
well, of course, mate. You know, you. I was thinking about it today, after we had our little conversation this morning about AJ, and then I really, really thought about it, and I looked at it from his sort of perspective, and okay, he went a bit over the top, and maybe he shouldn't have done it, but when he was speaking there, you could tell he was speaking from his heart. And, okay, he took a little way away from him, but he gave it back to him in the end by saying, look, you know, it's almost like a backhanded compliment by saying, fuck, you must be really good if you can beat me.
Yeah.
And that's what, but it's a compliment in a way.
It's, yeah, there's way too much heat being poured towards his way. It's like, I can understand how you think it's unprofessional and such, but you have to understand that.
Of course, you've got to look at the backstory of it.
Yeah, give him a bit of reprieve. He's an athlete who has immense amounts of fame. Yes, he did lose a fight, but it's like, at the end of the day, it's just a fight.
I didn't think he was going to win that fight, but Geezer's better than him. There's no shame in losing to someone like him, you know what I mean?
That's the one thing I don't like about combat sports, is that it's that Mayweather effect, where if you take like a few losses, then you're automatically like...
You're a bum.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
It is still a sport.
Yeah.
Like, you have to understand that, yes, you can lose a fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's countless examples of people getting caught And, you know, that's just the sport. That's just what we, that's what they sign up for.
That's what the whole point of the sport is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's to minimize that. Like, the whole point is to not get hit and to minimize that window. That takes a lot of skill.
Yeah.
But sometimes it does happen, obviously. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's also nothing wrong with losing.
I hope he comes back.
I hope he does too. But
I hope he comes back because I think he's a top man. I love that. I love him.
I want to get rid. I would like to see the sport where it's that the losses don't matter as much as they do nowadays. I think it's just bad for the sport.
Oh, I'd like to also mention that idiot we was talking about before. You know, the ex-British champion that I don't really like very much, Tyson Fury.
Oh, okay.
All of a sudden he was going, right, I'm going to fight him. It's like, mate, you're either retired or you're not. Shut up. It's not about you. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I did see his rant on Instagram.
Mate, just shut up. Just go away.
I mean, he can do what he wants. I think, I don't know.
Yeah, but if you can retire, stay retired. Keep your mouth shut. I'm only saying that because he doesn't know where I live.
As far as what's next for AJ and Usyk, it'd be cool to see Usyk versus Tyson Fury. It'd be a good fight. It'd be a really cool fight.
To be honest with you, what he's gone through, the other fighter, like his backstory is absolutely amazing. And really, part of me wanted him to win because he's Ukrainian and they're fighters. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's the same with Lomachenko. Lomachenko obviously coming back from Ukraine recently for... Yeah, it's incredible that their resilience and I don't know. I don't have much of an opinionated stance necessarily what's going on, purely an observer, but all the best to them.
Without a doubt. Listen, he was out of order, he apologized for it, that should be the end of it. But it won't be because of that rancid social media. Staff of it, your mugs.
Well, the UK also has a new UFC champion, also in the welterweight division. Obviously, the first was Michael Bisping, and now we have Leon Edwards, who knocked out Kamaru Usman. Hollywood cannot write this any better than it can.
Leon, please describe what this feels like.
Can't put into words, Joe. It's been a long, long four years. Don't doubt to miss, I couldn't do it. The odds that I couldn't do it. Look at me now. Living in pound for pound. Headshot dead. That's it. Leon.
Insane fight, first of all.
How long was it? Was it over quick?
No, it went. It literally was to the last round, right? It was like a minute in the last round. The commentators were literally saying, well, you know, pretty good fight. Leon could have done more. He's got to look for a finish in this last minute. Probably not going to. They were quite literally writing his obituary.
Okay, bish, bosh, bash.
And then he hit him with a head kick. The same setup as Israel uses.
Oh, okay.
That's the first thing that I noticed when I saw like the replay of it.
Yeah.
I was at work and I caught the knockout in the corner of my eye and I lost my shit. I was like, no fucking way he just knocked him out. Like, I don't think anyone expected that, you know? And, knocked him out clean with that head kick. I think if we want to get technical, it's just the way that he did it was beautiful and the setup was amazing. Again, similar to what Israel did.
Do you think he would have won it if he hadn't done that? Because is it like boxing, like points?
The thing is with fighting is that it's so unpredictable, right? So, yeah, I don't know, sorry. I was, like, geeking out over the actual technique that he used.
Oh, you're so cute.
Like, I've been showed that before, and then I've seen, like, Izzy do it in his fights, and, like, oh, I've seen, like, you know, kickboxers do it, and I'm like, oh, that was so fucking cool, blah, blah, blah. Everyone else is like, oh, fuck, like, I just lost set amounts of money, and I'm like, oh, no, but, like, did you see how he, like, threw that, and
what
then came
doing?
Over
okay,
the,
okay.
You know, like, it was cool, right? I just think that it was... crazy. It reminded me why, like, I like the sport so much, and
you don't get
moments like this in other sports. Also, Luke Rockhold versus Paulo Costa was another great fight. Three rounds of just pure destruction.
Where was this? It wasn't in England then.
This was in Utah, in Salt Lake City. So the co-main was Luke Rockhold versus Paulo Costa. Crazy fight. Luke Rockhold announced his retirement. I wish I could find some highlights real quick, but we don't have enough time to run through all of those.
Nah.
And yeah, quick shout out to Tyson Pedro as well. I think he was the first fight on the card. He trains out of City Kickboxing.
Oh, cool.
Here in Auckland. He did great as well. So,
oh, nice one.
Yeah, he's Australian, I think.
Well, still all right. If he's at your kickboxing, we'll let him
he's
off.
He's Kiwi, / Australian.
Kiwi / Australian, that's a headline you don't want to read, is it?
Might cut that out. But
slash it out.
Yeah, so that sort of rounds up what we've been watching over the weekend. Yeah, I guess we should move on to the more political side of the show for the last like 10 or so minutes. First things first, Dennis Rodman says he will travel to Russia to help Brittany Griner.
Oh, wow.
Thoughts?
Well, didn't he go and see that King Jong-un or whatever his name was? King Jong-il's dad.
He has an interesting relationship.
I think he's in Men in Black as well, as one of the aliens. I don't know. Fair play to him. Listen, on a serious note, if he can do something to help, why not? I don't think he will. do you know what I mean?
No,
what's he going to do?
I don't know.
But fair play to him. And it's keeping it in the news because... I personally, I think there's going to be a prisoner swap. I think that's what will eventually happen. They're going to use her to get some of their people back. It's disgusting, but if that gets her out, you know what I mean? That's so bad.
Will the US do that, though, is the question.
Well, yeah.
It's bigger than sport at this point. A lot of people have been criticising Griner because, like, oh, she brought in illicit substances to Russia, and she should have been a lot more vigilant of that fact, but I just don't think it's that simple,
mate. Jesus, like, Christ, fucking
yeah,
ridiculous.
It's a bit tone deaf. Yeah, jeez.
As Anika always says, the only reason she was over there is because she couldn't earn a decent wage in her own country, unlike the men. So whose fault is it? Do you know what I mean?
I don't think it's necessarily anyone's fault. I can see how people could be putting the blame on Griner, but it's just not the right...
I'm not being a 420 person myself, fair play to her.
Yeah,
sorry she got caught. It's disgusting.
Yeah, but to use her as a political
prawn, that's what they're going to do, isn't it? Because that's...
It's more than just charging someone for cannabis usage.
Of course it is.
Again, not sure what Dennis Rodman is exactly going to do.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe just they can have a back and Putin will go, yeah, of course, there you go.
1v1 versus Putin in court.
I know, who's that freedom? Fucking idiot actor is over there that can't fight, that just stands there, that blobby geezer.
Steven Seagal,
yeah. Because he lives in Russia now, doesn't he? Maybe he could sort it out. Worst fight. I reckon I could beat him up. Yeah. He just stands there like fucking squiddly diddly. He's an idiot.
Aikido is his martial art. It's gotten
criticized
before.
Yeah, well, mine's fucking... Can't think of anything funny. Oh, yeah, origami. I'll fold him into a fucking paper napkin.
You hit it first. Sign it, Dana White. Send the contract.
Chuck Norris. Send Chuck Norris over there.
He's like 80 years old.
Is he really? Jesus Christ. It's disgusting that she's still there, and hopefully she doesn't get forgotten about. And if someone like Dennis Rodman, bless him, can keep it in the news, well, all good, you know what I
think? That's on the bright side, that's what he's doing. It's keeping it relevant, which it needs to be kept relevant.
Yeah, of course.
In order to, you know, so she can... acquire her freedom back. It's very, very important, especially nowadays with what's going on over there.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah. Now, looking at more football-related news, Al Jazeera posted an article looking at how the Street Child World Cup in Qatar is hoping to change lives. Now, we've talked about how controversial the World Cup is this year. This is a lot more of a positive spin on it. Which I'm glad to see, because when we've been talking about the World Cup for the last few months, it just seems like it's not the most positive thing in the world.
No, it's terrible. It's unbelievable.
Qatar has been preparing to host this year's FIFA World Cup. The capital, Doha, will play host to the Street Child World Cup. It's an 11-day event.
They're going
to
release them all from prison. Is that what it is?
I'm about to tell you. The 11-day event, which includes 27 teams from 24 countries, will take place from October 5th at Education City Stadium. This is one of 8 venues for the Qatar 2022 World Cup that kicks off in November. Now, I think this is cool.
Too little, too late, though, isn't it?
Maybe. This tournament will be the fourth. So the first one was in South Africa, second one was in Brazil, and the third one was in Russia.
Never heard of it.
Neither. This is the first time that I'm hearing of it.
Oh, so they haven't come up with it. They're just doing it because everybody else said, Russia did it as well. They're just going from shit-house country to shit-house country,
isn't it? It's sequential. I think it's the fourth annual one. I can see how it would be done.
Yeah, fair play to them, try to do something, but maybe do other stuff as well, in your own country. This is a thing with a lot of the players now, that they want to say something, but they're not allowed to.
Do you think the players that come from less privileged backgrounds, or in fact, backgrounds where they grew up in poverty and they can sort of vouch for this, do you think that could be?
Would you mean what, with the street kids?
Yeah, do you think?
Oh, yeah. No, don't get me wrong. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I'm surprised I never heard of it before, but not really. But that's really got nothing to do with the country.
Mm.
It's happened before. Do you know what I mean? It's not as if they said, look, we're trying to make ourselves look better. We're going to do this. They're just carrying it on.
Yeah.
I think it's a great, great thing. It's a great thing. Obviously, anything you can do to help anybody's got to be good, isn't it?
So it says here, growing up on the streets and being part of various gangs, breaking into houses, this individual says his future looked bleak and he never imagined one day being able to represent his country on an international stage.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Plus, I reckon they could be able to knock over a few hotels while they're there as well.
In Qatar?
Yeah. Oh, I think a lot of the English fans are like staying on like cruisers and stuff. They've got big boats and all that. I wouldn't go. Even if I could afford to, I wouldn't go there to support England in the World Cup. We're not going to do any good anyway, but...
Well, according to the SCU, 10 teams will be participating in this World Cup, including 3 refugee teams from Darfur, Hungary and Zaatari, as well as a girls team from Palestine as well.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Now, on that note, I want to quickly brush over the situation with women's football and with the England team winning the World Cup, the women's team.
Euros.
The Euros. And how that is going to positively impact girls' aspirations in the UK as well as football in the UK.
Well, and plus as well, they will be over here next year for the Women's World Cup.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was unbelievable. It was a sellout at Wembley. Although, the tickets were £6 each. I'm not taking anything away from that, but it was packed. They're getting record crowds at all the women's games, and all the league teams.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. I've been watching the Lionesses, hate that name. I've been watching them for quite a while. They're really, really good.
Does it really ring it? Would you name it better? We've gone over team names like...
No, I wouldn't call them anything. I'll just call them the women's football team, like you've got the men's football team. I don't like these.
Are the men's team called the Lions?
No.
Oh, okay, so that doesn't make any sense.
No. Well, you know my thoughts on giving teams nicknames. I hate it.
Yeah.
We've all got nicknames like Tottenham Spurs, you've got West Ham, the Hammers, whatever, Chelsea, the Scum, and all that sort of stuff. And I get that, but, the Tall Blacks, the fucking, I don't know, all the shuttlecock, the shuttlecocks or whatever they're called. And then the Aussie ones like the Gillaroos and all these fucking really stupid names. Just call it what it is. I hate it.
Fair enough. It says here that, the Euro 2022 football win for the women's team was an inspiration for
young amazing.
Girls and women today. Now, their success goes beyond that trophy that they earned. This is what the Queen said. It said something about how this would impact football, beyond the game, beyond their win.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and all other women's sports as well. The women's cricket, that was actually in the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah.
The men's wasn't, and it's going to be in the Olympics. T20 is going to be in the Olympics now.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic. About time as well. And it's exciting to watch. Why shouldn't it be?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Plus, the England fans, when the men's team were at Wembley, after fans had rockets up their arse and doing copious amounts of cocaine off of car bonnets, whereas like the women, it was a nice, friendly family atmosphere. When you see that, in the England one, that when the English, that bloke, he had a rocket. stuck up his arse.
Well, then what are they going to do when the England fans rock up to Qatar and they can't drink? They can't do any of this
shit. Oh, no, you can drink. It's like $150 a beer or something. Oh, no, I mean, yeah, you've got to be mad to be going over there. For one thing, it's so expensive. And secondly, I just wouldn't trust anybody over there.
You might have to go into that another time. I know that Sam and I were yarning about that and just kind of joking around about how, like, oh, fuck you, what do you mean you can't drink in the stadium?
Oh, well, no, I remember back in the day when you couldn't drink in stadiums. I mean, it's all different now. I mean, Tottenham got their own brewery at Tottenham Stadium. It's insane. But I used to be used to it. They used to shut all the pubs all around the grounds as well, anywhere near the ground as well, and it used to be really bad.
Yeah.
In the late 80s and 90s, and that was just fucking hell, it was mental. But well, no, I'm all the troublemakers, they know who they are, and they're not stupid enough. They're not even stupid enough to go over there and cause trouble.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not.
Oh, yeah. I as I said before, with Gareth Sidegate as manager, we haven't got a chance, I don't think.
Only time will tell. Looking forward to seeing the rest of the season. I think that pretty much sums up the playbook for this week. Please do stay tuned. Remember, you can follow us on the Instagram, which is 95BFM's The Playbook. Keep up to date. We're going to be doing a lot more exciting stuff for this podcast. Rob, anything else to say?
No, just be nice to people. And if you're on public transport, wear masks. Simple, isn't it?
That too. It's important to say that as well.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, when I came in today, there was more people not than... Oh, now, just disappointing.
Society nowadays, eh?
Yeah. But sport, really enjoying it. And if you're going to the darts in Hamilton, good luck with that.
Good luck with that. Also, keep an eye out for all the sports happening over the weekend as well.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah, cool.
Ta-da.
That's us. Right, cut.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.